thebrightside.com podcast. Hello everyone, I'm your host Rillian, and Merry Christmas. This is really a continuation of the last podcast we did, since some more news came out before we could get it on the site and published. So we're just going to cover the news for you. First of all, an outline. We're going to talk about the casting call for Glenstorm the Centaur. Also, we're going to talk about the extended edition rundown that huge Narnia fan provided. And we're going to talk about the filming locations that have been confirmed, as well as the Hollywood Wiretap interview with Mark Johnson. We'll also be covering a new rumor that has surfaced. And last but not least, the latest Ultimate Narnia fan contestant has been announced, and we're going to tell you who it is on the show. So without further ado, let's begin. Our friend Glumpuddle is here as usual, and hello Glumpuddle, welcome back.
Awesome, awesome to be back for a third time. Really enjoying this.
Yeah, it's fun, and we've got quite a bit of news today. We're going to try to keep this even a little bit shorter than the other one we did. We're going to try to get down to 20 minutes today.
But, all right, good. We had a goal to set today, 20 minutes.
Yeah, but first of all, there's a little bit of news concerning the Ultimate Narnia Fan Contest that I thought was interesting, and I think we never really mentioned it in the old podcast, but we have a Narnia Webber called Nina Ruth, I think is her name, who's a contestant, and there is now another Narnia Webber, and he is Glumpuddle. So
which
this is
incredibly
exciting.
Stunning.
Yeah. So this would be pretty incredible. We definitely want a Narnia Webber to win. So we'll have to. So we wish you guys the best of luck.
Yeah, definitely. Really, I was totally stunned by it. It's really cool. You're just not even going to try to say it in words what it means to even have any kind of chance. It's really incredible.
Yeah. Well, best of luck to you both. Although I'm sure, well, I guess that luck will get distributed to one of you.
Yeah.
But okay. Well, let's. Yeah, let's go ahead and start talking. One of the things I kind of regretted about taking so long to edit the last episode is a big piece of news came out. Actually, a couple of big pieces of news came out just after we released the recorded it, and it's not in the last episode, so we wanted to get this news out. And it is, first of all, there is a casting call for Glenstorm the Centaur, and I'm reading the description here. An actor sought to play the role of Glenstorm. The requirements is for a male, aged 50 and over, black, preferably at least 6 feet tall, and of African descent, with good upper body definition, as he will be required to perform shirtless. No surprise there. The character is a centaur, the leader of the Narnians. He is strong and imposing, dignified and honorable. So that is apparently the only real role we know that they're seeking right now besides Caspian. What do you think of it?
Well, I think it sounds like it's obviously, and most Narnia Webbers agree with me, it's not how I imagined him, not how I imagined him in the book. But I definitely, when I thought about it, I thought it would actually work very well in the movie. I don't think Lewis actually mentions what race he is. I'm reading from the book here, and it says that his flanks were glossy chestnut, and the beard that covered his broad chest was golden red. And that's the only description we're really given of him in the book. But I think of, you know, Glenstorm, who, even though he has a small role, he's, you know, I always thought he was a really cool character. I think that would, you know, he's a stargazer and he's all about, you know, trying to read the stars. And so I think this description will make him a really interesting character, and I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, I think it will further differentiate. I think in the long run it'll be a good thing, because it's important for people in the watching the films to remember that the centaurs are not humans. And that sounds kind of ridiculous, but you think about it in the film, you think, oh, okay, there's the beavers, and they're the animals, and there you have the badgers and the bears and things like that. But oh my goodness, there's these human-looking creatures that are, you know, pretty much human for all practical purposes, and they're just like the humans as far as thinking and the way they act and look and things like that. And I think that the fact that Glenstorm will have more of, I would say, bigger physical difference between him and Caspian and Peter and the others will more emphasize the fact that there's something different about him, and that they're not really, centaurs and humans are not from the same area, per se.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you there.
Well, yeah, there's not a lot to say about that, but there is a lot we've found out about the extended edition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a Narnie Weber has got, because the Royal Edition was released November 20th over in the UK, and so some Narnie Webers have seen it and given us. I haven't looked at the description of the new scenes too closely, just kind of skimmed over them because I don't want it to be spoiled.
Yeah.
But a couple of the things, one of them, a lot of the stuff is in that, and are stuff that we've seen in the script, which some people have, but you know, obviously it wasn't in the movie. Like at the beginning, when they're on the train, it has Lucy giving her, I think it's a toy dog to someone, and there's a lot of little moments like that. And there's the fish scene, which is mentioned in the frozen fish scene is mentioned in one of the audio commentaries. And I don't want to spoil too much of it for you know, any people who are listening to this, but it looks like, according to Narnie Weber, saying there's going to be about 13 minutes of new scenes, which seems to wrap up the mystery on that. Except Digital Spy, another website, is saying it has nearly half an hour. So, you know, the mystery is still there. Is exactly how much is going to be on there. But it sounds to me like it looks like it's going to be about 13 minutes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was looking at the scenes here, and I don't think if you're really, really spoiler phobic, then you may want to skip over the next 30 seconds here. But I'm just going to list the scenes that are extended according to Huge Narnia Fan. And they are the train station, the train ride, hide and seek, Tumnus's house, cricket game, running from MacReady, the Pevensies playing in the snow, meeting Mr. Beaver, walking to Beaver's Dam, Edmund crossing the White Witch's courtyard, wolves searching the Beaver's house, the arrival of spring, the Battle of Bruna. So that kind of gives you the impression I get is that it's nothing really new. It's just changes in pace and flow and just little bits that are thrown throughout the film that are going to be probably in some ways more fun because they'll be more unexpected.
Yeah, and I think one of the big surprises here is that the scene that the dancing scene, which was, you know, for some reason was kind of a lot of people, because we knew pretty early on before the movie was
Yeah.
out that that scene had been cut, and left for a lot of people wanted to see it back in. It is mentioned in the book, but it's interesting that they're saying that it's not going to be an extended edition, which is kind of a surprise, and you have to wonder why they did that. It's perhaps, you know, that it would have been too costly or taking too much time to finish all those visual effects, because they did have a lot of, you know, fawns and other creatures they would have had to do. But that's definitely surprising and probably a disappointment to a lot of Narnia lovers.
Yeah, and I'm personally kind of disappointed. I think that probably I was thinking about, I think probably like you said, two main reasons might be, one for one thing, visual effects, which you mentioned, and another might be pacing. But I wouldn't think that pacing would be what would keep them from putting it in here, because they would, Adamson mentioned that, for instance, the infamous fish in the ice that Lucy finds was not kept in because of pacing, but an extended edition isn't concerned about pacing because people are at home and they can watch it on their DVD and they want it to be longer anyway. And so I really do. I guess maybe it was just a little too difficult because I read the descriptions and they had dryads and naiads and they had Susan dancing with the fox, which is a lot more animation there, and they had a bunch of different stuff. So that would be the only reason I would think it would be cut out. But like you said, it is a mystery.
Yeah, and I'm not sure what Andrew Adamson's philosophy with extended editions is, but mine is typically you put back in the scenes that, you know, were such good scenes and people love them, but it just, you know, it wasn't it didn't really, they couldn't find a place for it in the story. And the extended edition is an opportunity to put those scenes back in. You know, now that we've seen the, you know, their preferred cut of the movie, now we get an opportunity to see the movie with some of those scenes that were so great, but they just weren't appropriate in their place in the story. And so, yeah, it might just be that, you know, the visual effects would have been too difficult or too costly to put in just for, you know, the DVD release.
Yeah, although there's one scene that I am really looking forward to more than anything else in the extended edition, and that is the extended Phoenix scene. That is something I was really disappointed about because there's pictures of the scene in the one of the official companion guides. You can see pictures of the scene that was cut out, and they mentioned that it was cut out from the film.
Yeah, and that's one of the that was the only scene around that we knew was extended was the battle. We didn't know exactly what, but You know, yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see. I'm looking forward to other things more, just because, you know, we saw a lot of the battle, and, you know, the battle's even only kind of skimmed over in the book, and, you know, and it's a great battle, and we saw enough, but, you know, I think I'm more looking forward to, they're saying that when the snow starts melting, there's, you know, another scene, like, there's another few moments there,
yeah.
which is one of the things I thought the film was really lacking, is it goes from, winter to spring so fast. It's like one shot. And so that's one of the things I'm really hoping will be extended quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, if I were to actually kind of have my little dream scene in there, I would have liked for the scene with the professor and Susan and Peter to be extended. Because I wish I could have seen more there, but that's my personal wish list.
Well, I absolutely agree, because, you know, he makes such a good point in the book, and it's so interesting, and, you know, they got in what they could, but, you know, you can't really have long scenes with a lot of dialogue in a movie. It's hard, but they did what they could. That's another scene I'd really would have liked to have seen extended. I agree.
Yeah. Hey, here's one thing I'm going to ask about. Do you think that what kind of extended music do you think that the DVD will have? Because, you know, that's an issue. If you throw in some more music, another scene, you have to compensate with music. You can't just have a cut there. So do you think they'll actually bring Gregson Williams back to continue, write a few more minutes of the score?
That's a very interesting question. That's what they did with Lord of the Rings, of course. And this is coming out approximately the same amount of time after the Lord of the Rings released their extended DVDs, and Howard Shore came back and wrote some new music. But we haven't heard any news on that, so I'm not sure. But, you know, they could always, I've seen other extended movies where they just take existing music from other scenes and just kind of, you know, rework it to fit,
mix it in
the extended scenes, which I think is probably the more likely to happen here, because we haven't heard any news of him scoring any other music. And so I would guess no, but, you know, obviously I would hope it'd be great to hear more music.
Yeah. Well, we will all look forward to your review on the next podcast. And of course it was going to be the next podcast, last podcast, but
that's right.
So if I keep saying that, we may never hear your review, but we'll see when it depends on how much news comes out between now and the next 10 days.
That's right.
It is 10 days, right?
It's 9 days, actually, until the extended edition comes out.
Okay, great. Well, let's talk about the filming locations, because they are confirmed now.
Yes, they know that it's going to be in February and March next year. It's going to be shot in Auckland. Then after that, they're going to be going to Prague in the Czech Republic for four more months, which is, you know, obviously a lot of Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe was filmed in New Zealand and the Czech Republic. So, you know, there were some rumors before that they were going to be filming in, you know, other places that we weren't really sure about those. But, you know, it's finally to, and we have a date. We know that they're going to be start shooting at February 12th, which for a while it looked like it'd be January. You know, it's pushed up to February. But, so yeah, there's a lot of discussion going on about that right now.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I thought one thing that surprises me is that it looks like this is saying they're not going to be doing as much filming in New Zealand as they are going to be doing in the Czech Republic, which surprises me.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not sure exactly which ones they're going to use. I would assume that in New Zealand it's going to be mostly sound stages, what it sounds to me like. I don't think they're going to be doing a whole lot of location shooting there, but, you know, I may be wrong. And I'm actually, you know, kind of looking forward to seeing, you know, them use using New Zealand a little less in the next film to give it, you know, a different look from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And so, you know, I'm pretty happy about this news.
Yeah, I'm honestly not surprised that they're not really going to be filming in Ireland, because, especially early in 2007, because Ireland will be pretty cold at that point. And, of course, winter for us in the Northern Hemisphere is summer for the folks down in New Zealand. So, and, you know, it may be that they're trying to time it so that as they start to get slightly colder weather in New Zealand, they can move up to Prague where it's getting warmer.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and I'm not surprised that in Prague, again, because I think Adamson said that they wanted to have a more forested area for Prince Caspian, which I frankly love, because it emphasizes the fact that Narnia is somewhat overgrown, I think would be a good word.
Yeah, that's definitely probably the one word to describe how different Narnia is from the first story. It's overgrown, and it hasn't, you know, people haven't been, you know, it's just totally grown out, and no one's been there to control it. And so, yeah, I think that's a really good way to go.
Do you want to tell everyone what the code name of Prince Caspian is?
Tootsie?
No, it's not Tootsie, it's Toasty.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. At first, okay. I thought it was Tootsie. I was like, what? But it's like, it's Toasty.
Toasty. I would not guess. I mean,
yeah, I know. The last one, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, was the 100-year winter, which is made a little more sense. And this is like, you know, got to wonder if there's some funny story behind that.
Well, I know that there was another, I think there was another code name, wasn't it, for the actual set directions, because they had signs pointing to the set for the crew. I think
lamppost or something like that. I think it was.
Yeah,
the line
it was something
the
like that. It was pretty. It was not nearly as. It was much more subtle than 100-year winter.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little bit about. There was an interview with Mark Johnson, and let's talk a little bit about that. He just basically talks about the plan for Narnia in the future and the kind of films that they're going to be releasing. And how they go about them.
Yeah. One of the things he mentions here, as I said before, they're going to start on February 12th. And a lot of the discussions here about the budget, in which they're talking about, apparently they're talking with Disney right now about the budget. And, you know, and they ask him, you know, usually sequels have bigger budgets. You know, is this one going to have one? And, of course, like a true producer, he doesn't really answer. He just says, I can't comment, but it's a good assumption. And so I thought that was kind of an interesting little tidbit. It's a little interesting to see how much more money Disney puts into the sequel.
Yeah, and one thing I'm always excited about when I see this kind of emphasis, again, because it is a sequel, and they've been able to see what works and what's not. And I think in the past we've seen with some films that I think that, for instance, with Pirates of the Caribbean 2, the emphasis got a little sidetracked from the real story of the first one. And I'm going to read a quote from him. They ask him, what are you looking for in a project? And he says, primarily it's characters that interest me, followed by relationships. I'm usually less interested in the big, bombastic stuff than I am in the smaller, more intimate stuff, unquote. And that just reaffirms in my mind that he's going to make sure they stay on a character level and let the characters drive the story instead of let the events push the characters around.
Yeah, I absolutely love that quote. You know, I totally agree with him nowadays. That, you know, people, you know, they think that, oh, if they just have these big, impressive visual effects that will draw an audience, and maybe it will to some degree. But if you really want a successful film, you have to have story, you have to have character. And it's great to see. And it's always tempting when you're working on a film that has a lot of visual effects and it's a big, epic fantasy movie to kind of go that direction. But, you know, it's definitely encouraging to hear quotes like that from the producers of the film.
Yeah. Well, we've got basically one little thing to cover, and this is really being done in the spirit of Narnia Webbers Everywhere who like to speculate, and that is a rumor that the actor for Caspian has been found.
Yep, and it's, according to the report, the part went to a boy from Madrid who just walked in, delivered a really good audition. But, you know, and it definitely could be true, since they're just shooting in a couple months, and Caspian's probably going to have to be training in, you know, horseback riding and sword fighting and all of that. And, but I wouldn't expect to get an announcement until after February, because on The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, we didn't get an announcement on who was playing the Pevensies until July, which, was a month or so after they started shooting. And which is probably to protect the kids from press, I would assume. And so, it's probably, I'm sure pretty soon we might receive some reports saying, oh, yeah, it's been cast, but, you know, we can't tell you who it is. Which probably, if it's a total unknown, just a name probably wouldn't mean anything to us anyway. So, but really going to be the big news is when, you know, we get a picture and a name and we get to start, you know, let the discussion begin in the forums. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, well, like I said, and I'm just going to say here as the podcaster to everyone to take this with a grain of salt, because we've seen rumors in the past. Some of them had a lot of weight. And
the infamous Nicole Kidman rumor.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Talk. I mean, that one had major newspapers were reporting that that was pretty much gospel truth, and it turned out to be completely unfounded. Mm-hmm. And from what I hear, this almost contradicts more confirmed news, a piece that's more solid, that just British boys have been called back. So again, you know, it could be completely unfounded, but we know they've been doing some casting and, you know, I think looking for Mediterranean people of Mediterranean descent. And again, this could be just more of a spur of the moment thing they've done.
Yeah.
So stay tuned.
But I would guess that, you know, maybe they have someone who's like the big favorite for the part, but it's probably not totally set in stone at this point, I would guess.
Yeah. They won't probably want to give them the announcement on Christmas Day. Woohoo!
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be a good Christmas present.
Wish they could give us the announcement on Christmas Day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Cool. Actually, I'm more interested in who's going to play Miraz. That will be the piece of news I look forward to.
Miraz?
Miraz, yeah.
Well, I think the one I'm looking most forward to is the voice of Reepy Chief, which, you know, assuming it's not Mr. T.
Oh, yes, of course.
That's definitely one of the ones I'm really, because, you know, he's like one of the fan favorite characters, and, you know, one of my favorite characters as well. And so I'd be really curious to see which direction they go, if they go for, you know, maybe sort of the typical high squeaky mouse voice, or if they try to go to big tough guy, like more in the Mr. T direction. But that's probably the one I'm looking forward to the most.
Well, I hate to disappoint you. You may be in agony for a little while because it's a voice character, and they don't necessarily have to hire him until maybe even 2008.
That's right. That's right. When they get into post-production on the visual effects, remember, like Mogrim, was cast very late in the game last time. So.
And then even then, it wasn't really an announcement. It was just kind of, by the way, this guy's playing Mogrim.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you really had to. It wasn't exactly, you know, the big announcement or anything.
Well, it's getting more fun to be a Narnia Webber.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining me, Glumfiddle.
Thank you, really, and had an awesome time yet again.
You too. Thank you all for joining us here today. As always, visit the forums to discuss the news and make sure you check up on narniaweb.com for what's going on in the world of Narnia. And if you'd like to email me about the podcast or any of my thoughts, email me at rillian@narniaweb.com. Or if you'd like to email Glumpuddle, his email is glumpuddle@narniaweb.com. And I would like to remind everyone that we are now available on the iTunes Music Store and podcastalley.com as well as feedburner.com. So if you like the show, please feel free to drop by and give us a rating sometime. Well, that's all we have for this show. Thanks for joining us, and until next time, I'm your host, Rillian. Thanks for listening.